From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day, Tuesday, the 25th of July, 2017. And on this day, Maine's U.S. senators voted not to move the Republican health care bill forward, but it is going forward. We'll look at what the bill might mean for Mainers. And a new album recorded by Maine elementary school students. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Both of Maine's senators voted against a Republican health care bill today, but their votes were not enough to block the Senate from moving forward to debate legislation that could dramatically reshape health care in the U.S. As Patty White reports, health advocates are worried the proposal will be disastrous for Maine.
Only two Republican senators opposed the move to proceed, and Maine Senator Susan Collins was one of them.
Senators voting in the negative, Collins and Murkowski.
Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was the other. Combined with opposition from Democrats, the tally was 50-50, and then Vice President Mike Pence broke the tie. That officially opens up the future of health care policy for debate. And Steve Butterfield of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare says he's horrified that lawmakers will consider proposals that could devastate the healthcare system.
Because every version of a bill that they've come up with has managed to be worse than the one that comes before it.
The current proposal would essentially be a straight-up repeal of the Affordable Care Act, which would buy Republicans time to create a replacement bill later. Previous replacement proposals have called for defunding Planned Parenthood and eliminating an individual and employer mandate to purchase insurance. They allow for older consumers to be charged five times as much as younger consumers. They also make dramatic changes to Medicaid by converting it to a program that receives a fixed amount of money. That would end the federal government's open-ended commitment to chip in on state spending, no matter how it fluctuates.
At this point, this is not a bill about the ACA. This is a bill about unraveling Medicaid, which is, what, 20% of the population of Maine relies on Medicaid, and half of all babies born in the state. Just a little less than half of all babies born in the state rely on Medicaid to bring them into the world.
People with disabilities also rely on Medicaid to pay for their long-term care, says Ann Woolison of Maine Equal Justice Partners, as do seniors.
So there's about 50,000 elderly people who rely on Medicaid. Most of them are residing in nursing homes. So it's not just the people we're talking about, but we're talking about our healthcare infrastructure that serves the elderly.
Given earlier proposals, Woolison says she doesn't have confidence that future Republican efforts to replace the Affordable Care Act will improve healthcare.
The proposals will do nothing to increase access or improve affordability. And that just doesn't make sense because that is what people are looking for, not only in Maine, but across the country.
Gordon Smith of the Maine Medical Association points to analysis from the Congressional Budget Office of earlier bills. They suggest millions of people will lose insurance. Whether it's 22 million people or 32 million people, he says, it will be devastating not only to those who lose insurance.
But it's going to be devastating to rural hospitals. And it's going to have great implications for those of us who remain insured because our premiums will soar because of the people uninsured will be unable to pay anything.
It's unclear how a Senate health care bill could evolve in the days ahead, but it will ultimately have to win approval in the Senate and the House. Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin issued a statement on Tuesday that he does not support a repeal of the Affordable Care Act without a replacement. Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree called Tuesday's Senate vote an act of cowardice by Republican leadership and vowed to fight any bill that moves forward tooth and nail. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Late this afternoon, Maine Senator Angus King released a statement in response to the Senate's vote on the motion to proceed. He said, "I've never seen a process like this before with no hearings, and it will almost certainly produce a terrible bill that will drastically raise costs for people in Maine, put coverage out of reach for many others, and reduce Medicaid funding, causing states to choose between helping seniors or children or people with disabilities." The Senate will now begin 20 hours of debate on health care legislation. State police say they've charged three people from Presque Isle with breaking into and stealing money from the cash boxes at several farm stands in central Aroostook County. State Police Lieutenant Brian Harris says one of the farm stands had a surveillance camera and gave police a video and photo of a suspect and the suspect's car. Harris says putting farm products on the side of the road with honesty boxes is a long-standing practice based on trust.
Where that money sits in a box in plain view, usually in the farm stand, and at the end of the day, they'll come and take whatever money's out of there. And most of the time, that money is basically just going towards maybe paying the taxes on the farm or maybe a bill that they have that they know is going to come up at the end of the year.
The three have court dates and are facing multiple counts of theft and criminal mischief. When Chandra Oppenheim's debut album, Transportation, came out in 1980, it was quickly embraced by the tastemakers of the day. She played gigs at CBGB's in New York. She sold out shows in Berkeley, California, before she was in her mid-teens. Now she's helping a group of elementary school kids release an album of original songs with a show and release party at Space Gallery in Portland. Jonathan Woodward has this story.
Try to remember what you were doing when you were 12 years old. If you were Chandra Oppenheim, you were being interviewed by Andy Warhol, appearing on Captain Kangaroo, and fronting a post-punk band in New York City releasing LPs. The year, 1980.
You walk on the subway, it moves around. You hear someone scream, so you go to see what you found.
I grew up in an environment where my voice as a child was had a lot of freedom and was given a lot of respect.
Oppenheim wrote the lyrics and the melodies and was lead singer. The songs were arranged and set by the band, a couple of friends of her father's. He was a conceptual artist of some renown in New York City. They helped her develop and perform fully realized songs.
When it just won't stop, you get real scared 'cause you can't.
Oppenheim moved on from performance art for a number of years and now lives in Falmouth, Maine, and has returned to songwriting. But this time, in her late 40s, she's doing what her father and his friends did all those years ago. She's helping young kids write and perform songs of their own.
It's basically that I come in and work with students individually and facilitate the songwriting. So it's really their voice, and I'm there to help them get it out there.
It's called the Young Songwriters Project. And with the help of local musicians and engineers, Chandra is producing an album of the kids' songs as well, completely realized and with the same balance of innocence and earnestness. 11-year-old Jethro is one of the songwriters on the project.
I'm singing a song called World of My Dreams.
In this world of my dreams, I see futuristic things. Cement would be solar-powered, trees would be electric.
It's about how, like what I would imagine the future to be. Like, half future, half imagination, half completely bizarre, crazy stuff.
Marbles would stick to the roof. That would be crazy, that would be weird. Maybe the sun would be blue. I wish.
The project's co-producer and musical director is Dan Capaldi, a Portland musician. It was his job to bring the musicians together to find a way to play along with the kids' songs while also staying faithful to their composition, in whatever form that might take.
This music was some of the most complex music I had ever been a part of. I mean, and I've been in projects that are like, okay, this is like a weird thing, and this music is designed to be weird, but none of this music that we're working on now is ever intended to be weird. It just naturally was that way.
And that's the honesty that Capaldi says makes the songs compelling. Recorded kids' music is often written by adults, aiming to satisfy the tastes of their younger audiences. But real kids, says Oppenheim, can create so many more shades of gray than they're given credit for. And it's not all whiz-bang and silliness.
There are deep, sort of more mature themes than one might think coming from, say, a 10-year-old. For example, looking for the sweet spot, sometimes you fall. Looking for the sweet spot, sometimes falling's best of all. 10-year-old wrote that.
Sometimes you fall. Looking for the sweet spot,
songs. There's joy and mystery, simplicity and contradiction. They're a combination of dark and delightful that Capaldi says maybe only kids are capable of.
As you get older, you learn how to communicate and interact with this world, and you learn that there's an etiquette. And if you want certain things, you have to communicate certain things certain ways to a point where, you know, you can have arguments over something that will go around in circles and nothing will be said. Nothing will be said.
Not knowing that etiquette, says Capaldi, is what makes kids' lyric writing so profound. Without that formalized language to describe their feelings, their imaginations take over.
Sometimes it seems like these kids are expressing emotions that they can't even, at this point, describe in words.
So what do children sing about when trying to make sense of the world around them?
Chickens. Loving chickens.
I love chickens. I love to hold them and I collect their eggs. I look for dead feathers and I give a chicken's head. I play tag with them, but I'm always it. They chase me. Do they tag me? Well, their beak does. I love chickens.
The album World of My Dreams comes out on Rain Boots Records label this month with a special release party and concert at Space Gallery in Portland. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jonathan Woodward.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and to our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.